I think the way we ate changed a lot in the 1970s. I think that's when we started to move beyond the traditional, this is, I'm talking from the point of view of an Anglo-Australian. I think in the 70s was when we started to move from a more English-based diet of, you know, meat and three veg into a more multicultural approach to eating. So that was a big trend. For example, Chinese food, which had sort of been on the fringes for quite a long time, went a lot more upmarket and, you know, it was the first time we had more fine dining type Chinese restaurants, for example. It's also probably the decade when we discovered pizza. Although the first pizza shops appeared in the 60s, I think the 1970s was when pizza really became more commonly eaten rather than something that was a bit rare and exotic. Another thing that happened was we kind of went down the low-fat route, so everything suddenly started to be low-fat. So we didn't want to eat buttery, rich, French-style food. We wanted to eat lighter food. But also commercial food started to put out low-fat versions, for example, low-fat milk, so on. And because we were avoiding fat, we thought it was really good to eat carbs. So pasta became a much bigger part of our diet, I think, starting in the 70s. Another thing that happened in the 1970s was flavoured milk arrived. So Farmers Union iced coffee, which Adelaide people would be more than familiar with, that arrived in 1977, for example. I also remember avocado was thought of as a fairly exotic thing, and fine restaurants would serve half an avocado with vinaigrette sauce in the little hole as a classy entree. Whereas now it's kind of, you know, it's just one of our everyday foods that you smash up on your breakfast toast or eat in your salad. So avocado was thought as quite an exotic thing in the 1970s. There are other things like fondue was another thing. Fondue is you sort of basically melt a lot of cheese in a pot and keep it hot over a flame, and it has kirsch or a liqueur sort of stirred into it. And then people put bits of bread on long forks and they dip them in the fondue pot. So it was a sort of communal eating thing. I think it originated as a Swiss tradition, and it kind of became a bit of a rage in the 1970s. There were, tea bags too. Pretty much up until then, if you made tea, you made it in a teapot with leaf tea. But in the 1970s, that's when they started the Join the Jigglers advertising campaign, and tea bags became much more common.
Wow, I had no idea. Let's talk about beer. Beer consumption had been increasing since the 40s, but it peaked in the 70s. Why is that? What happened in the 70s to make people drink more beer?
Well, I don't think it was really something that happened in the 70s to make people drink more beer. I think it just gradually increased because people were reasonably prosperous. In most states of Australia, pubs closed at 6 o'clock. Up until 1967 was the last state, which was South Australia, who ended that. So I guess after pubs were allowed to open till 10 o'clock at night, people drank a bit more beer. Also, during the 60s, for the first time, women were allowed to drink in public bars, so maybe women were drinking a bit more beer. But I think the key thing, the reason beer consumption kind of peaked in the mid-1970s and then declined was because in the mid-70s they introduced breath testing, and from then on people couldn't just go to the pub, drink as much as they like, and chance driving home. I think it made a big difference to the amount of beer that people drank.
As you would expect, yeah. They would get caught, so that would definitely cut it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Popular fast food chains Hungry Jack's and Pizza Hut were introduced into Australian diets in the early 70s. How did that change the way Australians consumed food? Did people immediately start eating out instead of cooking at home, or was it a slow transition?
It's interesting. Actually, the first of the big fast food chains was Kentucky Fried Chicken. They arrived in 1968. Hungry Jack's arrived in 71, as did McDonald's. Pizza Hut was 1970. So a whole lot of them in those few years, a lot of those big American chains arrived. And from my recollection and also from some of the reading I've done, it didn't suddenly change, really, how people ate. Probably those things replaced some of the existing fast foods. But, for example, by 1975, when McDonald's had been going for 4 or 5 years, they only had 37 stores in Australia. That's on the East Coast. By 1975, they had 16 stores in Sydney, 10 in Melbourne and 1 in Brisbane, but nothing in South Australia, nothing in Western Australia, nothing in the Northern Territory. So it wasn't as though they arrived and then within a couple of years everybody had rushed out to their McDonald's. And Kentucky Fried Chicken, for example, when they started, they didn't have eat-in. You didn't go and eat at Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was purely takeaway. So by 1979, they only had 14 of their stores that offered eat-in facilities. The other 190 or so were takeaways. So it took a while before people really embraced those things. And I think it was people with children who first started to kind of embrace McDonald's. I don't think I ever ate McDonald's until the mid-80s when I had children. So I think it took a while, but in the 1980s, I think that was probably when those fast food chains really exploded because people were doing better. There was a bit of a recession in Australia in the mid-70s, but in the 80s, people were feeling very prosperous and they had a bit more money to splash and started to eat more outside the home. And apparently, in the 1980s, about $42 a week was spent on food outside the home. So, yeah, I don't think it was as though the food chains arrived and suddenly everybody changed their lives to eat out at these places. Mm-hmm. But they just gradually grew and encroached.
The first edition of the classic Women's Weekly Cookbook was published in 1970 with over 700 recipes for people to enjoy. How did this cookbook influence Australian cooking throughout the decade?
I thought about this and I'm not sure that it changed necessarily the way people cooked. I kind of look at the Women's Weekly Cookbook in its original form especially as a bit like the Mrs. Beatons of its day. It wasn't necessarily incredibly innovative, but it was trusted. So I think in that way, because the Australian Women's Weekly was a huge publication, had an enormous circulation, people kind of turned to that and it went through lots of editions. They sort of branched out into a whole library of Australian Women's Weekly cookbooks, you know, for all different types of cuisine. So I think it was just the fact that it was so trusted as a brand that people felt that if they cooked something out of that book, it would work.
In 2017, you released an interesting book on Australia's food history called A Timeline of Australian Food from Mutton to MasterChef. Can you tell us more?
A timeline of Australian food from mutton to MasterChef is kind of what it says. It's a timeline of how our food changed over 150 years from 1860 until 2010. And it was designed to be a collection of food trivia, if you like. It is available through the normal online sources like Amazon and Booktopia and so forth.
Thank you for your time, Jan.
You're very welcome.